From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Andrea McCormick and Rick Zimmerman from the American Music Theater. AMT features both touring concerts and original shows and hosts over 300 live performances each year. Andrea is the artistic director of the theater and is responsible for writing, designing, and directing the theater's original productions, including their current offering, Broadway, Now and Forever. She's very passionate about her work.
For me, it's like I give birth to these shows. It sounds like over the top, but these are mega creations. They are a feast for the eyes, the ears, everything. And it's a living piece of art to me.
Coming up, we're talking about the American Music Theater with artistic director Andrea McCormick and vocalist Rick Zimmerman. And it's Mickle time. We welcome Mike McMonagle back to the program with his live music picks for the weeks ahead. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Thursday, June 13th at 7:30 p.m., the Effort of Performing Arts Center opens Brighton Beach Memoirs, the heartwarming coming-of-age comedy from Neil Simon, inspired by Simon's own youth in Brooklyn's Brighton Beach neighborhood during the Depression. The show runs until June 29th. Check out effortofperformingartscenter.com for more info about this show and all of the theater's great work. Brighton Beach Memoirs opens this Thursday, June 13th at 7:30 p.m. On Saturday, June 15th, we kick off a summer-long Music in the Orchard concert series at the Hans Herr House. Every other Saturday from June 15th until August 10th, we'll feature local and regional musicians in the beautiful setting of the historic Hans Herr House at 1849 Hans Herr Drive in Willow Street, Pennsylvania, just south of Lancaster City. I'll be performing at this Saturday's show with Sopa Soul, an eclectic world folk group that draws from a wide variety of influences and features Francis Miller on violin and hong drum. Opening the show is Pittsburgh songwriter Christopher Mark Jones. The music starts at 6 p.m. and admission is $5 for an adult. Kids under 12 are free. Refreshments will be available on site, but you're welcome to bring a picnic. Also, feel free to bring blankets and lawn chairs, but we ask that you leave your pets at home. It's Sopa Soul and Christopher Mark Jones at the Hans Herr House for Music in the Orchard this Saturday, June 15th at 6 p.m. On Sunday, June 16th, the Millersville Four Corners Festival presents outdoor one-act comedies on campus at the Swan Pond. The performance includes Ages Ago by W.S. Gilbert and The Lover by Harold Pinter. The show is free, but donations will be accepted. The performance starts at 7:30 p.m. and is intended for mature audiences. It's one-act comedies from Millersville's Four Corners Festival, Sunday, June 16th at 7:30 p.m. Today we welcome Mike McMonagle back to the program with more live music picks for this month in Lancaster. It's Mickle time on Around the Wood Stove. Mike, welcome back to the program. We are in the thick of summer.
We are.
Actually, technically we're not. Technically, summer hasn't even started yet.
It feels like it started. It feels like it started about 2 weeks ago.
It's totally. Memorial Day weekend, although Memorial Day weekend was cold, like right after that, got really hot.
And, it did.
And like all of a sudden it was like spring's gone. But so here we go into summer, leading into summer. What do you have for us coming up in June?
It starts off hot and heavy, especially this week on Thursday night. We have J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices and Joe Fletcher and the Wrong Reasons.
Wow.
Two bands with ampersands in their names. And they are both, Joe and JP are guys that have been through town a few times over the, Joe a few times over the last year. JP over the last couple years now, he's become something of an honorary resident of the city. But we're looking at some honky tonk music, some two step, some great country folk rock kind of stuff. Joe Fletcher is a guy that has become a friend, especially for a lot of the locals who have been able to host him. We had him at TELUS 360 back in the fall, and he knocked everyone's socks off. So to have these guys touring together And I believe they're playing with a mutual backing band and probably playing with each other as well. So it's going to be a pretty awesome time. And if you miss them on Thursday night and on Saturday night, they will be at the Burning Bridge Tavern as well.
Oh, wow. So, okay, so they're hanging
with
around.
With a very convenient trip to Richmond in between the two of them. So.
And so that's that first show's at Dipco, so I would recommend go there for dinner and stay because it's going to be tough to get a seat or a place to stand.
That is a smart move. Given JP's track record at Dipco, he's filling it up, and they're taking tables out too to give you some dancing room
that's
too.
Great.
So that space gets pretty small pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
On the weekend, on Sunday, over at Chestnut Hill, good friend Matt Wheeler is playing.
Nice.
And, you know, I know we've talked about Chestnut Hill's Chestnut Hill Cafe, to clarify. Their Sunday afternoon music. It's just a fun, quaint little scenario to see musicians in a very honest, raw kind of way. And Matt Wheeler, this season, is the spotlight in the new Fig magazine. So it's good to see him getting out there and getting some attention from the XPN folk. And he's been doing some great things, and he's as hard worker as they come. So,
oh, Matt's great.
Yes, and let's go a week from there on Friday evening on the 21st at the Chameleon. They're bringing in a band called Why with a question mark. So it's more like a why?
Why?
And Y is touring with support from Sarah Jaffe. Sarah Jaffe is a indie singer-songwriter type that she's been, you know, around for a little bit. She got some love from Rolling Stone. I forget when she really, you know, entered the scene. But both bands have been on my radar for a little bit. Never had a chance to see either of them live, but this would be a great opportunity to, you know, kill two birds with one stone, or with one ticket. And Y is, they mix the, you know, indie rock with a little bit of hip hop vibe to it. So it's an interesting pairing nonetheless. But
and that's Friday, June 21st.
Correct.
Right on.
Correct. And lastly, we're going to go back to The Fridge on Monday night. So The Fridge has been starting this Monday night, one Monday a month series. It started off as just the first Monday of the month, but having talked to Jamie recently, he said they're going to keep it to just one Monday a month, sometimes the first, sometimes the middle, sometimes the last. So this is towards the end of the month. They're bringing in the Scott Pemberton Trio from Portland, Oregon.
Hmm.
Scott Pemberton has a great story that I just recently learned about. He was he's a guitarist and was playing a lot of the traditional jazz and blues kind of stuff. Was in a terrible, terrible accident on his bike, got hit by a car, was in a coma, family was told he was not going to live. Came out of the coma within weeks, was playing guitar again, and apparently his just whole attitude toward music shifted. Something changed in that time period. So now he's... live performance, Jamie was telling me he doesn't even wear a guitar strap because the guitar is all over the place. He's drawn comparisons to Jimi Hendrix, Buddy Guy, all sort, you know, like
right,
really,
right.
Really emphatic guitarists. And from what I understand, the performance is like none other.
Be interesting band to see at The Fridge.
Exactly. It'll probably be a little loud, but it's just straight up just really hard hitting jazz infused kind of rock and roll ish music. And it's at The Fridge, and so for all the beer aficionados out there, you definitely get to enjoy their fine selection of brews as well. So
it's great. It's great to see stuff happening on Monday nights. It's great to see stuff happening on all nights of the week. It's mm-hmm. really been spinning up in Lancaster, this idea of music doesn't have to be on the weekends.
Absolutely.
Modern Art's been doing some midweek shows. There's some house concerts that are happening midweek now. Music Mondays at The Fridge. It's great to see everybody, just getting excited about live music.
Especially, and it gives you an opportunity to see more of it.
Yeah.
You know, how many times when Friday comes around and three of your favorite bands are all playing at different places. So it's great to kind of spread things out and to know that bands are okay with doing that. So
it's great.
More music, the better, right?
That's right. Always a pleasure, Mike. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jason.
Along with being an accomplished local musician, Mike is responsible for booking live music events at TELUS 360. A Lancaster business that brings environmentally sustainable solutions to all aspects of living. Check out the show post for today's episode to link up with Mike McMonagle and TELUS 360. Today on the program is Andrea McCormick and Rick Zimmerman from the American Music Theater. Andre is the theater's artistic director, and Rick has been a performer with the theater for over a decade. AMT's mission is to create an extraordinary, immersive live entertainment experience by promoting an aggressive and diverse schedule of top national touring artists and compelling musical productions. They offer these experiences through 300-plus live performances each year that mix original productions like the current show Broadway Now and Forever with some of the top touring acts in the country like Willie Nelson, Jackson Browne, Loretta Lynn, and Michael McDonald. Andrea and Rick took a few minutes out of their overwhelmingly busy schedules to chat about the theater and their experiences working on AMT's original shows. It's the American Music Theater on Around the Wood Stove. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's Andrea McCormick and Rick Zimmerman from the American Music Theater. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start with some information just about the theater itself. Can you just kind of give me an overview of the capacity of the theater and the mission of the theater?
Sure. American Music Theater is a 1,600-seat celebrity concert venue who also produces original shows. We're considered quite unique, and people have told us we are the one of the only theaters successfully doing this form of entertainment. A lot of theaters are either just a roadhouse or they're trying to be a legit, you know, theater, like a regional theater. Yeah, and we're kind of like two in one. So
yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, and we're lucky enough to say that we do it well, and it's super fun.
I haven't been as familiar with the original show side or the theater side. I've been more familiar with the concert hall. How do you balance that schedule? Do you lean one way or another?
That's a good question. I mean, the concerts vary based on who's coming through and who wants to stop by. We do anywhere from 75 to, we've done up to 90, upward past 90 concerts in a year. And that's a lot. And but it's great and people love it. And you're right. Most people know us for the celebrities that we bring through because, of course, they're stars. They're well known. And
right.
A little lesser known in the local community, but more known tours and through the touring industry knows the original show side, I think, even more than the local community. And since I've come on board, my mission has been to make the local community understand that there's this amazing theatrical side and that we're building these shows for them to come and enjoy as well. So typically we do either one to three original shows during our regular season.
Right.
And then every year, I think people are familiar with our Christmas show that we do every single year. And scattered throughout that are the concerts. And so we designed the show to just be torn down and we can insert a concert at a moment's notice.
That's amazing.
So
it's a beautiful theater. It's just a remarkable.
It really is beautiful.
State of the art.
Yeah.
When the theater was created, was that idea in mind?
Honestly, I have to say, no, I think the original idea way back when was, I know the owners really modeled it on, if you're familiar, sort of a Branson type model, family theater. Mm-hmm. And they thought we would build one or more shows, mostly original, and base it on that. And then just naturally, because the theater's so beautiful and it's such a great road stop for people going from Philly to New York or Atlantic City to New York, it's perfect to stop by on the way. We started naturally attracting these great acts, and then we just started adding them to our schedule, and it sort of was a natural progression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really neat. How long have you been involved with the theater?
I actually first came to the theater as a performer in 2004, but then as artistic director since 2009.
And what's that role? Can you explain to me what you do?
Doesn't she do?
You know, every theater has their own version of what everyone does, right? So an artistic director, I do all the general things you would expect an artistic director to do, shape the artistic vision of the theater and be part of the day-to-day with the executive group and make the decisions on that level. But then I also write and design and direct and choreograph all the original shows.
Wow.
So, but that's just because I happen to, that's what I do.
Yeah, I would have stopped at the first part and be like, oh, that sounds like a really good job.
Yeah, so they got to know me as a writer, director, choreographer, and then they decided they hadn't had an in-house artistic director in a very long time, years. I think they did when they first started, and then it went like over 10 years where they were just jobbing people in for their original shows.
Oh, I see.
And then around the time that I had directed a show there, they were like, I think we want to bring an in-house artistic director in once more. Mm-hmm. And then I had the opportunity to talk about that, and I ended up coming aboard. And so I think it was always understood that I would be really hands-on with the shows, not just the artistic director jobbing other directors in.
Sure.
It definitely is my product, top to bottom. So.
So are you as involved with these shows as you'd like to be at this time?
Probably more than I'd like to be. Yeah, it's honestly, it is such a pleasure and such an opportunity.
Sure.
To have this venue and to be able to just launch these full-scale visions of productions top to bottom. So, yeah, I'm as involved as I'd like to be. I'm super involved. Costume design, lighting design, choreography, set design. You're looking at it, but that's what I like to do, because I get
great.
To have a solid vision.
Yeah. Rick, how long have you been involved in the theater?
I'm not even sure. I think I probably did my first show there in maybe 2002, something like that.
And primarily, what has been your role?
I started out as a performer. I was actually brought in to replace a performer, and that was just a one-time thing. And then I went from there to working behind the scenes, helping with wigs and hair pieces and things for shows, and also sewing costumes.
Wow.
Because at the same time...
Rick has other talents. He's not just a performer. You may need a little history there, but Rick is also a designer, and he does a lot.
Is that pretty common over there?
No.
Okay.
You just happen to get two of us that do that. It's not common. No, but Rick is a local.
I own a hair salon in Lancaster, and I've been cutting hair for 30 years now. So,
wow.
Yeah, in addition to owning my own business, then I do American Music Theater. I don't want to say on the side, because it's also a full-time job. It's just that I have two careers going at one time.
Yeah, you've got parallel careers.
I have a lot of balls in the air, a lot of things going on all at one time, just like Andrea does.
That's great. Are you from this area?
I am. Yeah, I was born and raised here in Lancaster County.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, I sang, and then I was helping backstage, doing various things with costuming and wigs, and also decorating and doing design in that way. And then I stepped away from American Music Theater after a couple of years and was involved in other theatrical things, and also leading a lot of local church music.
Okay.
And then a few years ago, was invited back to American Music Theater again, and I'm very happy to be working there full time performing.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. My guests today are vocalist Rick Zimmerman and artistic director Andrea McCormick from Lancaster's American Music Theater. The theater's current original show, which runs all summer long and into October, is called Broadway, Now and Forever. It's a larger-than-life theatrical compilation of unforgettable music from the hottest new blockbusters to all-time favorite Broadway classics. Here's the show's creator, Andrea McCormick, on Around the Wood Stove. Did you write this show?
Yes.
Fantastic. I've got the right person in the room.
Yeah. Our patron base has this strong desire for everything Broadway. And our theater, that's not exactly all that we do. the original shows have been anything, and I've written everything from original classic country shows to contemporary country shows to we reproduced the whole Abbey Road album, whole concept show around that, rock shows, and then we would sprinkle in some Broadway shows as well. But our fan base, they overwhelmingly just want us to do more Broadway. So that's where the concept for this one was born, really, just sort of a... And this year is quite unique because we're doing one show all for our whole summer season. Usually we do a couple.
Okay.
But this is a change for us to do one statement show until Christmas time. And I thought, let's do it. Let's do Broadway. This is what the people write in about. This is what they most love. Many people can't get to New York, and we bring in just world-class musicians and singers and dancers from across the country right to their doorsteps. So I thought, let's do it. Let's give them what they want. And so Broadway Now and Forever was born, which is more of the modern side of Broadway. It's not just a scope through the end of all time, like right. From the very beginning, George M. Cohan. It's more towards the modern slant of Broadway and things that are on Broadway now or have recently been that maybe people missed. And so it's just a compilation of...
What was that process like to choose what pieces to include?
It's a great question because anytime you're dealing with a scope so large...
Sure.
It's like, where do I begin? And I always... with everything, even when I was writing a country show or a rock show, I like to have a way in. I like to have a point of view. And so for me, it was important that this point of view slanted towards more of the modern and current. So I actually went toward the biggest blockbuster hit shows that maybe people have heard about or they have seen them and they already love them. Or maybe it's sort of newer and they missed it. So I slanted everything towards that way. I would say the oldest, so I started to concept it based on the title. So Act One is Broadway Now. So it's more of things that may have been on Broadway recently, like the producers, Billy Elliot.
Wicked,
yeah. Jersey like, what Boys. Else is in Act One? and then Act Two is Broadway Forever. So more of the classics, yeah. but really not too much. I mean, the farthest I go back is I do touch upon West Side Story a little bit, but no more than that. And West Side is a revival that's still touring. So I felt anything that's revived now, or you could see it near now, is what I did. So I don't go way back.
How has it been so far? It's been running for a while, right? A couple weeks at least?
We opened in the beginning of May.
I think so, yeah. It's such a huge... huge show. It was so traumatizing. I think I blocked it all out by now.
Yeah, I want
to say it was April.
Maybe it was April. Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's about a month. About.
See, that's why I stuck with a while.
A while. We've been open a while.
We've been open a while.
And it's been awesome.
Yeah. It has been awesome. I love doing this show. I think that this is one of the better theater experiences I've had in my career. Partly because of getting to work with Andrea. We first got to know each other as fellow performers and became close friends. And then when she stepped into the role of artistic director, it was even sweeter being able to be under her leadership and watching not only her performance ability, but then to watch her turn into this person who had vision that I didn't even know that she had and creativity that I didn't even know she had. I knew she was a creative person, but when I watched her put these shows together, it's so much fun for me to watch it all develop and watch all the pieces layer. No, I'm serious.
That's so nice. People are going to think I like paid you on the way in to say that. That's so nice.
One of the other things.
Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. One of the other things I think that makes this show experience different than a lot of others that I've done in the past is the cast that I'm working with. I feel like there's a real cohesiveness and a real unity among this cast that you don't always find. And that makes a lot of difference because not only are we friends on stage, but we're also friends off stage and even on our downtime. This particular group of people loves going out together, even on our days off. We find that we don't want to be apart from each other.
And
yeah,
that's great.
Start texting each other, hey, let's meet here and let's go out for dinner, or let's meet here and whatever activity, you know, that we find to do. We just enjoy each other's company so much. And I think that that you can see that in our performance, that we enjoy each other. And I think the audience can definitely see that chemistry and that love for not only what we're doing, but also for each other.
Have you worked with many of these folks before?
I have worked with many of them before. There are a few new faces to me in this production. Some of the people that I'm working with in this show, I've not worked with at American Music Theater. I've worked with them in other venues. So mostly people that I've been familiar with that I've performed with at one time or another, but a few new faces as well.
That's great. At the Woodstove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Woodstove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or you can sign up to get all of the Woodstove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. And now back to our conversation with performer Rick Zimmerman and artistic director Andrea McCormick from the American Music Theater. I was curious about highlights from their careers at AMT over the years. Is there anything that stands out in all of your history with American Music Theater? That you go, oh, that show or that performance of that show, or there was this one night when...
Well, I mean, honestly, I can't... For me, it's like I give birth to these shows. It sounds like over the top, but these are mega creations. They are a feast for the eyes, the ears, everything. And it's a living piece of art to me. From the outside, someone might say, oh, that Broadway review. But if you come see it, you will know it so much more, because the whole style that I've been working to create there is it's a theatrical concert. So it's you get blown away by the concert aspect. But I require a level of a theatrical level of acting, sure, from everyone, that you're in a total experience. So to pick a favorite is really hard for me. I think my favorite aspect of the theater is seeing it all come together, for sure. Just how everyone feels, like, you know, being in a band and you know, you play that gig and you all nail it and you feel so good and the crowd loved it. And for me, I sit at the back of the theater and I watch the whole crowd watching this fabulous cast. And when they hit every beat and nail it and the crowd gives them that standing O, for me, that's my favorite thing. I feel like we accomplished it. It's like a war. I feel like we've won the war and I can go home. So I don't know if I have a favorite, because each production for me, there's not been a single throwaway one, because for me, yeah, it's been me as an artist sort of building blocks along the way, and each one has been meaningful for me as a director. That's sort of the artsy, boring answer. Maybe Rick has more of a specific moment.
I can't really put my finger on a specific moment. I can tell you that probably the times that are the most meaningful to me are the Christmas show every year. There's just something magical about Christmas at American Music Theater. Not to say that the summer show of Broadway doesn't also have its share of magic, but I'm such a sucker for Christmas in the first place. I think that I probably am part elf somewhere in my bloodline.
Christmas
is super magical, and American Music Theater, I think, accomplishes Christmas in a different way than any other theater that I'm aware of. The closest thing I could liken it to would be Radio City, but it's even totally different from Radio City. But it's that same energy and excitement and the warmth of Christmas that people expect, and the traditions and just beauty on stage, beautiful music, beautiful costumes, all of that. So I think that Christmas time is the part that there are times on stage where I just get chills, where I just think, I cannot believe that I'm standing here surrounded by this, being part of this whole process. And there's moments in this show too where I definitely feel that, but maybe snow isn't falling on me, so you that's not quite the same.
It sounds so dramatic and like over the top, but it's just for anyone who loves music and who loves beauty to be in this like total immersion of that all at once. I think that's why we're speaking so passionately about it, because that's exactly how you feel when you're there, whether you're watching it or like Rick gets to be in it and part of it. Sounds super dramatic, but it really is true. It's like a music lover's dream, I would say.
There's a moment in this show every day during the Lion King segment where I'm on stage singing, and then there are dancers that come onto the stage, and they are dancing within inches of me, and Corey lifts Holly up in the air right in front of me and spins her around. I almost get hit in the face by her leg every day. It's very exciting. And I'm just inches away from this incredible beauty. I have the live orchestra right behind me, and the music swells, and Corey lifts Holly up and turns her around, and it's right in front of me, and it's a view that the audience can't get.
Right.
Like, it's just right there, and I'm right in the middle of it, and it gives me chills every single day. And I just think, this is amazing. I have to pinch myself. I can't believe that I'm standing here and that they pay me to stand here and do this every day.
That's been the biggest thing that I've wanted the local audiences to know. While they're home watching Dancing with the Stars or So You Think You Can Dance, we have these same level dancers on our stage that they could come see live. They're watching American Idol or The Voice, and here we are having people who could very well be contestants on that show tomorrow on our stage. In fact, one gal years ago that I had just worked with the very next year went on to win So You Think You Can Dance. Like, she just was like, oh, I think I'm going to try out for this show. But these are the level, this is the level talent that's coming through, and I can't express, and I just try to tell everyone I know, like, this is in your backyard. We would love to have you, you know. And now I'm working really hard to create an educational platform for the local youth so that they're aware and that they're exposed to this talent coming through town. The local youth can absorb this, and maybe they're inspired to carry on in the arts. And I put some of them right in the show so that they can gain that experience. And I never had that. You know, I never had the opportunity, so it's really fun to give that.
Well, thank you both very much for taking some time to educate me a little bit about American Music Theater and talk about this exciting show you have going on. I wish you all the best with the show, with your concert season, and of course with the Christmas show coming up. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
You can find out all that's happening at the American Music Theater at their website, amtshows.com, or link up from the show post on today's episode at woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.